This is S.G. for the Zoe Center, reading an article from the New York Times titled Slow Runners Come Out Ahead by Gretchen Reynolds, dated February 4th, 2015. The ideal amount of running for someone who wants to live a long and healthy life is less than most of us might expect. According to a new study, which also suggests that people can overdo strenuous exercise and potentially shorten their lives. So from that first paragraph, it's basically stating that people who exercise too much may actually be bad for you. Continuing, there is increasing consensus among physicians and exercise scientists that people should exercise intensely at least sometimes. Past studies have found, for instance, that walkers who move at a brisk pace tend to live longer than those who stroll, even if they cover about the same distance. So intensity does make a difference. Quoting again, similarly, a 2012 study of cyclists in Denmark concluded that those who regularly rode hard tended to live longer than those who rode gently, even if those easy riders put in more hours on the road each week. So commenting again, it's basically saying that intensity does make a big difference regardless of the amount of time spent exercising. But that result, while intriguing, felt unsatisfyingly vague to the Danish researchers. It did not delineate just how much intense exercise might be most protective against premature death. It also did not address whether there could be a ceiling to the benefits from vigorous exercise and in terms of lifespan, whether someone might work out too much. So for the new study, which was published this month in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, the researchers, most of them affiliated with the University of Copenhagen, turned to the enormous database about health habits among Danes known as the Copenhagen City Heart Study. In this case, instead of focusing on cycling, the researchers decided to look at jogging, since it is the most popular strenuous activity worldwide. The researchers culled data for 1,098 adult men and women of varying ages, who upon their entry into the study in 2001, had identified themselves as joggers. They also had provided information about how often they ran per week, at what pace, and for how long. The researchers also pulled records for 3,950 age-matched volunteers who had said in 2001 that they did not engage in any type of vigorous exercise or, in fact, any exercise at all. All the volunteers were generally healthy, however, without evidence at the time of disease or obesity. Then last year, the researchers compared the names of the volunteers in both groups against death records. They also determined whether, based on average life expectancies, the volunteers were living longer or had shortened lifespans. So again, this research was from 2001 to about 2014, so we're looking at about a 13-year study. As it turned out, and as expected, joggers consistently tended to live longer than people who did not exercise. Okay, so joggers live longer than those who don't exercise at all. But when the researchers closely parsed the data about how much and how intensely people jogged, some surprises emerged. The ideal amount of jogging for prolonged life, as nuanced analysis showed, was between 1 hour and 2.4 hours each week. And the ideal pace was slow. The researchers do not specify exact paces in their study, using instead the broad categories of slow, average, and fast running based on the volunteer's self-reported usual pace. So here in this paragraph, they're saying that they discovered that people who lived the longest were those who jogged, in the jogger's own opinion, slowly, and jogged about 1 to 2.5 hours per week. Plodding joggers tended to live longer than those who were faster. And in fact, the people who jogged the most frequently and at the fastest pace, who were in effect runners rather than joggers, did not enjoy much benefit in terms of mortality. In fact, their lifespans tended to be the same as among people who did not exercise at all. Now, this is pretty shocking. They're saying that people, based on this study, they're saying that people who jogged harder and more intensely, their lifespan was about as hard or as long as those who did not exercise at all, compared to those who jogged slowly and less often tended to live longer. Again, this is all anecdotal. The results suggest that the optimal dose of jogging is light, and strenuous joggers and sedentary non-joggers have similar mortality rates, said Jacob Lewis Merritt, a researcher for the Copenhagen City Heart Study and co-author of the study. You can, in other words, potentially run too much. Of course, there are caveats to that conclusion. The number of hardcore runners in the study was quite small. For one thing, consisting of barely 80 men and women, so any statistical information about death rates among that group must be viewed cautiously, as the scientists acknowledge. Now, what they're saying then is that the test group is small, at about 80 people, so again, we can't conclude too much in this study, but it is evidence of something. And perhaps most important, the researchers did not determine how and why the runners and non-runners died. So it is impossible to draw any conclusions about what the deleterious effects, if any, hard and prolonged exercise might have on our bodies. There could be scarring or other impacts on the heart muscle after years of strenuous exercise, the Danish scientists suggest, though that possibility remains completely speculative at the moment. Now, they're saying that people who exercise too much or do if their workouts are too intense, could cause scarring on their hearts, which could be negative for long-term health. Again, they're saying that this is all speculative and isn't as in-depth of a study as they would like, since, again, the control group was only about 80 people. Continuing, so the message of this study remains that sweaty exercise is generally healthy and desirable, but a little sweat goes a long ways. Even slow jogging counts as vigorous exercise, Mr. Merritt said, and as this study showed, can lengthen lifespans. Reading some comments from this post, one person wrote from DLP from Brooklyn, New York, "The problem even with slow jogging concerns joint and other issues as we age. I'd love to jog slowly, but fear for my poor joints. I've got all sorts of foot problems and some arthritis. I walk fast every day and stretch carefully afterwards, but I'm afraid to jog. Let's hope fast walking counts." A reader from New York City comments, "Hard to evaluate the study without knowing the actual difference in lifespan outcomes. Was it years, weeks, days? Was the difference dramatic or even appreciable? Still waiting for the study that shows how to add more years at the front end." Jerry from an undisclosed location comments, "One more useless studies have shown. Here is the giveaway on this one. The running is subjectively categorized as slow, average, and fast." And he says, "I've been running for 50 years. That's 50 years of research. And my results are that studies can show anything you want. And tomorrow, someone will come out with a study that contradicts it." BK from New York City comments, "Each runner should find their happy limit. These studies come out every week and disprove everything from the week before. What is the serious runner to do? The runners are not stupid. They know about their own limits. And somebody who runs too much may have some issues, not just physical. The longest lived and healthy people I have known ran well into old age and looked much younger than their chronological ages. Some of them alternated running and yoga." Tom from Dublin, Ohio writes, "Gretchen, aren't you the one who writes story after story after story about the benefits of HIIT, very short, very high intensity exercise? Recently you wrote that we only need to exercise 1 minute a day as long as it was flat out. Then here's a piece about how those who lived longest were the people who generally did low level exercise for 1 to 2.5 hours per week. I've said this before, almost every study you report on is either underpowered to draw good conclusions or suffers from multiple tests where the researchers look for so many correlations that they are bound to find something of statistical significance or conflates correlation with causation. This whole series is really the very worst part of the New York Times and does a great disservice." Chris from Indiana writes, "I find it very irresponsible for the Times and many other mainstream media sources to continually publish as headlines misleading conclusions from flawed, severely limited studies. I expect better." This is S.G. for the Zoe Center.